Morning, church. Jesus is love. God created love. That God loves us is why we are all here, number one, and why he sent Jesus to open the way to heaven, number two. His shining countenance and his brilliant example are, he must feel joy when each man, woman, or child expresses their true love for him. That love, given and returned, inspires us to do great things in his name, to see our Lord and Savior, and to spread the word about him in love to all mankind. From Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives within me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Lord, I come to you, let my heart be
about love, now let's talk about grace. Grace is God's gift to us of life and salvation. Very simple. Even though we have done nothing to earn it, God's grace is there for us as believers. It proves the love God has for us. It proves that He wants us to be with Him forever. By God's grace, the universe was created. By God's grace, we were created. And by God's grace, we will live with Him in eternity. Drops of water in a rushing stream, and my hope in Him keeps me in the flow instead of being washed up on the shore and evaporated. Hope for better things, namely life in Jesus, which is life eternal.
Oh,
be seated, everybody. Folks, please read with me Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The God-inspired teachings of the Holy Bible are appropriate for every situation. From the beginning to the end, the good book teaches us about every facet of life and spirituality. The Iliad and the Odyssey are great works of fiction that try to explain a pantheon of false gods. The Bible is a work of truth, in which authoritative scripture defines Judaism and Christianity. It is our operator's manual.
I picked that verse very purposely because it seems like, to me anyhow, many, even in the church, have gotten away from this verse. Just to recap what Chip read, it says, went the wrong way, hold on there. All scripture. Is God breathed. That means he inspired writers through the centuries to write what he wanted written for our benefit, about his plan of salvation, about his plan of sanctification, and his plan of glorification. And it's useful for teaching, for rebuking, because sometimes we need to be rebuked, right? For correcting, bringing us back on the path again. And training in righteousness so that the servant of God, hopefully that's you and I, will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. There's a couple of things, you know, to notice about that. The fact that scripture is the word of God and it ought to be the final authority for those of us who trust Christ. When I say ought to be, because increasingly it has not been in the church of North America, and so the church has been in decline. So as we're going to explore some of that today, and as we explore it, I want you to keep this verse in mind. My tablet's not giving me what I need, so hold on a second. Okay, I got it. Here we go. I don't trust my memory. So I use cheat notes sometimes, and usually when I preach, I don't even look at them. But I'm going to ask, as we consider that verse and we enter into a time of prayer, for those who are helping to receive the tithes and offerings, if you would come up. And then I want to pray. I want to pray very specifically today. I want to hold up Lorraine Nigro in prayer, and also very specifically for our country and our church. And, you know, neither are in good shape. And you'll see the reasons why for it, why that's the case coming up in the message. So let's pray. We'll ask God's blessing, and we'll uphold some need in prayer. Okay, Father, we thank you and praise you that you give us the opportunity to meet here to worship you. We thank you, Father, for the truth of your word. We thank you for the songs that encourage our hearts. and the musicians and the voices that you provide. We thank you for those blessings, Father. Thank you for this building that you provide to meet in. Help us never take these blessings for granted. I also want to lift up our dear sister, Lorraine, up to you as she mourns the loss of her husband. Father, hold her close. Provide for her in every area of her life, spiritually, emotionally, physically. And Father, we just pray that you bring her comfort in the coming days. I ask also, Father, for those who are undergoing health issues. So I think of my own sister-in-law, Gloria, Father, that whatever is going on with the heart would be easily correctable, that you would give the doctors wisdom. And Father, for those others in the congregation who are not feeling well or undergoing medical tests, we lift them up before you also. Hold them close, Father. Give them the wisdom and the guidance that they need to navigate through the issues of life. I pray, Father, for our country. Our country, our cities, our towns are in bad shape. Our schools are falling apart. Churches are becoming weaker. And Father, we just ask that you would, in your timing and through the Holy Spirit, send revival. Started with each of us individually and made overflow into churches and then families and then communities. Father, our only hope is not political, it's not economic. Our only hope is Jesus. And so, Father, we pray these things and we leave these issues at the foot of the cross. And we thank you for the answers. As we continue to worship, Father, we worship in giving. May you bless the gift and the giver, Father. Help us to use these funds to bring glory and honor to your name. Bless the gift and the giver. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, you can follow in your Bible, or you can look up here. We're in Romans chapter 1, and we're starting at verse 24 to 32, which concludes the that chapter of Romans. So I want to ask you about some observations. These are strictly observations, and I don't want to get political here, okay? I know it's hard not to, but this goes beyond politics. What I'm about to talk about goes to the moral fiber of our country, goes to the moral fiber of our culture, and it goes to the basic premise of, does God exist? And I'm making it that basic because we need to hear this sometimes. If I make the statement that our cities are in trouble, would you agree with that? If I make a statement that our towns are in trouble, would you agree with that? Listen, there's almost no difference between cities and towns anymore. All the trouble's here. We got murders, we have violence on a lot of levels. Unfortunately, there's an extreme fentanyl problem that's killing people. There's chaos. Was a week before last, I think, Doc told me he saw two guys fighting right on Route 9, fistfights, over road rage, okay? How stupid can we get? And, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, this is increasing, the frequency, the intensity is all increasing. Now you got to worry about if you leave your house, if squatters will come in and try to take over your house. People who are here illegally think they're entitled. They're entitled because, unfortunately, they're being treated better than our own citizens, especially our military people. And, we get into these cycles, and the reason why we are at the point where we are now is because, I'm just going to say it blatantly, we have shut God out of the picture. That's why. That's why we're in trouble. That's why many churches are in trouble, by the way. And I'll detail that as we go forward. So can we all agree that things aren't good out there? Can we agree on that? Now, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm not saying you shouldn't be concerned politically. You vote for whoever you want to vote for. I won't tell you who to vote for. But I would tell you this. Our true hope does not come from Washington, D.C. Our only hope will come from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But that is only as the church is faithful to him. And so, I want to give you a lesson that I learned some time ago. When I was in college, I took flying lessons. And I loved it. I really do. There's nothing like being up in a plane and piloting a plane and traveling like that. I even tried to propose to my wife in a plane. She wouldn't go with me. She didn't trust me. I rented the plane. I had the instructor there, and I was going to propose to her in midair, and she was afraid I was going to do something stupid, which I would never do. But so I had to come up with a plan B. But it was an enjoyable experience. When you train how to navigate, back then we didn't have GPS, not in private planes. We used compass and other radios to navigate. And the one thing I learned, when using a compass, because you're up in the air, the earth below you still rotates. So every once in a while you have to readjust the compass to pure north again so that you don't end up in a place you didn't want to go. I want to give you an example of that. I did some research, and if a pilot was off 1 degree because the pilot did not adjust the compass, and he flew for 700 miles thinking he was going to a particular airport, just that 1 degree would make him 13 miles off course. That could be a problem, because most planes these days only take on enough fuel to make it to their destinations, right? I mean, it's easy to go off course when you neglect where true north is. And that's why you have to readjust the compass. I want to suggest to you that we are living in a period of time where we have a choice. We either readjust the compass and come back to the Word of God, or we're going to remain off course, and the results are going to be disastrous. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? I'm talking about readjusting our course to believe that God really means what he says in every area. You want to talk about borders? Read Nehemiah. Nehemiah was so burdened that the borders of Jerusalem were broken down. God gave him the courage to go to the king the enemy came and asked for permission to rebuild the walls. We need borders. We ignore what the Bible says. You want to know how far the church has come? I would ask you to read Daniel 9 and 10, where in that great prayer, Daniel talks about the unconfessed sin of not only him, but God's people. And because of that, they still weren't ready to come out of captivity. And Daniel was concerned, and rightly so. And it was a prayer that called for repentance and returning to God. The writer of Hebrews says this, that these things were written for us so that we would learn from them. The problem is, this is just like any other document. If you don't read it, you don't know what's in it. But the Bible is more than a book. The Bible is the Word of God, and it carries His authority. It carries His power. It carries His promise. And if we don't yield ourselves to it, we are on sinking sand. So I want to go through this with you. And, you know, as we go through it, I hope this starts to ring true, because there's many churches that need to hear this. We need to be reminded of it. We need to be challenged by it. And not us, but many other churches. Overall, you're going to see what happens to a culture when God is kicked out of it. Can I say that again? You're going to see what happens to a culture when God is kicked out of it. Now, we can even go to history books if you want. You look at the demise of the Babylonian culture. You look at the demise of the Median or the Persian culture. Look at the demise of the Greek culture. Look at the demise of the Roman culture. They had one thing in common. They kicked God out. And they all disintegrated. I want to suggest to you, our culture is disintegrated. Because we have chosen to keep God. You may disagree with me, but it would be a hard case to prove. So walk with me through this section of Romans as we go through this. Prior to this, Paul was talking about the wrath of God. Paul says the wrath of God is being poured out even now as he wrote this to the Romans. And the reason why the wrath of God is being poured out is because when we ignore God, God comes to a point where he says, look, I've sent the prophets to urge you to repent and come back. You killed them. I send you letters. You ignore them. I give you ministers. You ignore them. And he's saying, listen, God comes to a point where he says, this is what you want? Go for it. Go for it. Okay. One of the programs I never really liked, I only would catch a glimpse of it here and there, and no offense to Dr. Phil, but it was Dr. Phil. And white people would go on television and they were unrepentant and didn't listen to God. God gave them over to this, gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to what? Sexual impurity. For the degrading of their bodies with one another. In the demise of every culture, there was rampant sexual impurity. We're there. Does that make sense? All you have to do is read the history book. The ones that are true, not the ones that don't know. But the ones that are true. Sexual immorality. Listen, in Rome, they had public orgies. They had temple prostitutes. They had all sorts of stuff going on. And what's worse than that, in the history of Israel, there were times Israel got away from the word of God and got away from God and tried to shove God out of the picture, that the very temple of God was being used for prostitution. Can you imagine? God said, how's that working for you? That's what you want? Go ahead. Go ahead. There'll be consequences. Look at this. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie. As far as I'm concerned, we do this just about every day. We exchange the truth of God for a lie. And they worship and serve created things rather than the Creator, who's forever praised. Amen. What's the lie? The lie started in the Garden of Eden. The lie was told to Eve in that whole dialogue that God doesn't really mean what he says. And Eve bought the lie. Satan said, well, listen, you could be like God. You could be your own God. You could be better than God. I hear that today all the time. You say, well, Pastor, what are you talking about? I hear scientists say, not all of them, but a lot of scientists say that science will explain everything. We don't need God anymore. I wonder what he would say now. We don't need God anymore. We'll explain everything. After all, we can create life. We can clone a sheep. Well, congratulations. But let me ask you something. Who made the cell? You didn't. That cell was made from nothing. Only God did. You see, we get into this, we exchange the truth for a lie. Oh, we don't need God. God, you just mind your own business. If you do it, just let me live my life. Yeah, I don't believe in heaven. I don't believe in hell, which is prominent today. There are some churches that are teaching there's no hell. It's dangerous stuff. God, just do your thing. We'll worship who we want, what we want. As long as I got my idols, as long as I got my toys and all of them, I'll be happy. I can take care of this. We believe a lie. It's worse. It says, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relationships for unnatural. You hear what this is saying? This is saying that when the culture goes on this downward spiral and they reject God, they reject his word, reject his authority, this stuff is going to happen. We're talking about homosexuality. And our culture has come to a point where they say, you need to say it's okay. No, it's not okay. I can say that because God says it. It's not okay. Will we love the person? Absolutely. But we will not condone the action. Because it's sinful. That's what it says. Women exchange natural relations for unnatural ones. Well, I was born that way. Guess what? We're all born sinners. That's what original sin is. Our tendencies are to rebel against God. That's what original sin does. So listen, we're all born sinners. So what's your excuse? Jesus came to save us from self-destruction. He came to save us from the lie. He came to save us from the wrong thinking. See, the Bible says there's only men and women. There's not 187 genders. There's only men and women. You are born a man, you are born a woman. It's as simple as that. Well, what about people with gender dysphoria? Well, listen. I'm going to tell you that when you tell people that they can identify as a man today and a woman tomorrow, or you can be somewhere in between, and you teach this in the school to kids who don't have the capacity to understand this fully, you're going to get mass confusion. You're going to get mass mental health problems. And it's exactly what we have today. Well, Pastor, do you think you're being too harsh now? I'm just simply saying what the Scripture says. But you see, there's redemption available through Christ Jesus. Dennis Jernigan is a songwriter. He wrote the song that we do, "You Are My All in All." And he wrote that song for a very specific reason. Before Dennis was saved, he was a practicing homosexual. And he realized from people who loved him and brought him through the Scriptures that that lifestyle did not honor God. So he repented of it, realized it was sinful, and he trusted Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, but still struggled with it for a few years after that. And listen, there's something very different about someone who says it's okay versus someone who says, I know it's not okay, but I'm still struggling with it. I'll work with somebody like that anytime. After 2 or 3 years, I forget the timing, after many prayers, many tears, God gave me the victory for the homosexuality. He now has 10 children. And is happily married and still ministering to the Lord. Listen, we're all sinners. We understand that. But when we start to say sin is okay, we're in trouble. We've done it in the churches. There's mainline churches where they are telling people it's okay to engage in homosexuality or transgenderism or whatever combination that you have in between. It's not okay. It's just not okay. In the same way, men also abandon natural relations with women, and this is strong word, were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty of their error. Well, what does that mean? Could it be disease? Maybe. But I'll tell you this. The highest divorce rates right now in our country are homosexual marriages. The highest rates of mental problems are with the transgender and homosexual community. There's always a consequence for defying the Word of God. And don't forget, God is saying at this point, this is what you want, I'll let you have it. I'll let you have it. You're going to have to endure the consequences. Let me bring you back to the prodigal son. A little different, but same principle. The prodigal son goes to his father and says to his father, I want my part of the inheritance because I'm out of here. I don't want to work for you anymore. I don't want to be in the family anymore. Give me my part of the inheritance. And the father does it. Let me tell you culturally, in that time, what that meant. When a son went to a father like that, basically what the son was saying is, I wish you were dead. Give me my part of the inheritance. I want to go off and do my thing. Well, he did. And if you look at the story, you see the disintegration, the spiral downward, morally, physically, to the point where he ended up eating with pigs. For a Jew to eat with pigs, that's a big deal. And he finally came to his senses and said, he treats slaves better than I'm being treated. So he goes back, and the story says the father's looking for him in the fields. When he sees his son, the father goes to him and embraces him. What a great picture of redemption, isn't it? Father, I have sinned against you. That's what he says. And I've sinned against God. Would you take me back as your slave? Father says, you're my son, and brings a robe out. He throws a party in his honor. When we get stuck in this cycle, the blessings of God that we are missing because of our own selfishness, our own agendas, and ignoring God are immense. We set ourselves up rather for trouble and bad days. Furthermore, they did just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. Now listen, I don't want to get political here, but there are certain symptoms. You know, prayer was removed from school. When was that? Back in the 70s? 63? Okay. It was before I was born. It was removed. Now, you can still pray in schools, you just can't pray out loud. Okay? However, it's a symptom that the trend of saying that God's not cool, you know, God doesn't matter anymore. We're gonna take prayer out. We don't want to offend anybody. Taking prayer out of school. And then the Ten Commandments started coming in public buildings. And then what was worse than that is churches started to take crosses down because it might be offensive. I'm telling you the truth. There's another high-profile pastor this past week who said that he's no longer going to use words like the blood of Christ, repentance, and some other words because they're too harsh. I'll tell you what. He's going to have to do it. They did not think it was worthwhile to return the knowledge. So they gave them over to a depraved mind so that they knew what was not to be. There's no respect to marriage anymore. There are so many people, babies, born out of wedlock. There are people who choose to live together. And I don't quite get all of this because there's people who live together, they buy houses, they're not married. One of them decides to leave, and the other one can't afford that house. It's a little more difficult to leave when there's a marriage commitment, isn't that right? Okay? I mean, if we're that afraid to commit to anything, how in the world can we commit to God? But we ignore God, who says marriage is sacred. We ignore God when we say that sex should be confined to marriage and marriage alone. We ignore God when we say, well, live separately until you are married. It's wrong because we want to do what we want to do. upsets me most as a pastor. There are people in the church who were raised in the church who should know that. They opt to do exactly the opposite of what God says. There's consequences for it. There's consequences for it. We've lost the sacredness of the Word of God. Well, the Word says, oh, I don't care what the Word says. Or they'll say, yeah, I do care what the Word says, but you know what? It doesn't apply. Listen to the Word of God. Yeah, malice means that you're bent on hurting somebody. You're bent on hurting them, right? But look at what's here now. They are gossips. Let me give you a tip. And gossip is a big problem in the church. In churches in general. Do not talk about someone unless they're present with you. Even if what you're saying is true, it's still gossip. And it feeds into all of what precedes it. You know, this is why we're very careful with prayer chain, because I've seen prayer chains abused in the past. Did you hear about so-and-so? We better pray for him. Let me tell you why. No, keep your mouth shut. You know, keep your mouth shut. Gossiping is a dangerous thing. And anybody in public life is prone to this, but even if you're not in public life, gossip hurts. And gossip is meant to build up the gossiper and destroy the one you're gossiping about. But we forget that, because after all, God's word's not true, right? That's what this is saying. It gets worse. Slanderers, God haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. And this blew me away years ago when I first read this. They invent ways of doing evil. Just when you think you've seen it all, somebody invents a new way. But I want you to look at the foundation of this. They disobey their parents. If we don't have parental respect, how in the world will we respect God? How in the world will we respect His word? They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. You see this, the downward spiral here? And what's worse, what I'm seeing today is we're cloaking evil under the guise of love. After all, if we love, we'll accept people. No, if we love, we'll share the gospel with the people. Well, if we love, then we just gotta overlook, you know, certain. No. If we love people, we'll tell them there's a better way. And his name is Jesus Christ. And that doesn't mean we do it brutally. That means we love them enough to share the gospel in love. Their final choice is their final choice, but we're not even sharing the gospel with people. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things, this is a strong statement, deserve what? Death. That they not only continue to do the very things, but also approve of those who practice them. This is amazing. A couple of years ago, when our cities were being burned in riots, there was a bunch of people that said that was okay. And no, it's not. It's not okay. The destruction of other people's property, the hurting of people in authority, it's not okay. And yet there were people in authority who approved them. That's why it's not okay for squatters to squat in the house. It's not okay to say homosexuality is fine. It is not okay to say that transgenderism is fine. It is not. I'll challenge you, as we close this, to read some of the testaments in Leviticus, in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, that talks about the abomination of a man wearing a woman's clothes and the abomination of a woman wearing a man's clothes. And you say, ah, that was just cultural. No, it's not. It's not just cultural. Listen. When we do things that are against the word of God, we are on dangerous ground. We are virtually slapping God in the face and telling him to mind his own business. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. You wonder why our culture is sinking? Our churches are sinking? Because we are ignoring Christ, and we are ignoring his word. You wonder why families are breaking up? Because we're ignoring Christ. You wonder why we have so much corruption and violence in the world? Because we're ignoring Christ. When God created, let me just rephrase that. When Jesus ordained the church at Pentecost, the church was supposed to be the light to a dark world, salt in a bitter culture. And the early church had a lot of influence because they went forth and they were obedient to God. But it seems today the church in North America, instead of being salt and light in a dark world, have adopted the culture's influence, rendering a lot of churches ineffective for the kingdom of God. So let me ask, how's that working? Last Sunday was Resurrection Sunday. Today is too, but we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it used to be that we didn't need gimmicks to get people in church. We didn't have to have the Easter bunny here. We didn't have to drop Easter eggs from a helicopter. We didn't have to serve pizza at the service. We used to come to worship Jesus Christ. That ought to be enough to get us here. Listen, you and I don't deserve to be saved. We're just as bad as everybody else. The problem is, will we admit it? Will we repent of it? And will we embrace the Word of God? Will we acknowledge the Word of God as being the final authority for our lives in every area of our life? Will we acknowledge the fact that the moment we were saved, the Spirit of God indwells us? And He actually becomes our teacher as He opens our eyes to the truth of the Word. Or will we let the culture dictate to us what we should believe? Because 9 times out of 10, the culture is wrong. We're going to talk a little bit about this in the next couple of weeks. You can tell I don't have the school today, so I didn't have to rush off. But there's no school today. So as we go on, we're going to look at how this affects the church and it affects believers. And as we go on, listen, either God means what He says or it's all a lie. The choice is ours. The choice is ours. We come and we praise Him for His amazing grace. We come and we praise Him for His love for us. It's a righteous love, by the way. It's not a love that just accepts everybody. It's a love that says, turn away from your sin. Put your trust in Me. Welcome to the family. Will we trust His word in our own families? Will we trust His word in the church? Will we trust His word in the community? So one last commercial. When Jesus overturned the tables in the temple, He made a declaration that was really a repeat from Deuteronomy. And these are the words He said, "My house shall be a house of prayer." There are very few churches that have prayer meetings anymore. And when they do, they're not attended very well. My house will be a house of prayer. I'm going to ask the ladies to come forward. And gentlemen. See, Chip, I'm not leaving you out. Listen, be careful. And the reason why I'm telling you this is because one of the newest things that is going around in churches is this thing that they call universal salvation. Some churches are changing their doctrine to say that everyone gets saved. Doesn't matter. That is such a dangerous doctrine. It flies in the face of the gospel. It is a lie. Don't be taken in by it. Chip, ladies.
I want to talk.
as we're dismissed today, let's walk in the grace of God. Let's understand and recommit to understanding His Word, knowing that it is our only chance to glorify Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time. I thank You for everyone who's here. And Father, I ask that as we dismiss, that we don't walk out with a condemning attitude, but we walk out with a renewed vigor, that in this dark and bitter world, that Jesus is the light. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Help us to bring that message, good news, to everyone. And we'll be careful to give You all the glory. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Not bad. Let's do that again. All God's people said?
Amen.
That's better. God bless.